is Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen, and Ralph will be with us shortly. We're continuing the presentation of the Taking Aim Premium 9/11 Permanent War and the Repressive Apparatus of the State. Is martial law on the agenda? We're glad to have Max with us for the next 2 hours, helping us raise the funds to keep WBAI on the air. WBAI is listener-sponsored, as we all know, and it depends upon the contributions of each and every one of us to keep our station running 24/7, bringing Taking Aim to you each and every week. And occasionally we have fun drives, and during that time we bring special programming to you. This is the presentation of the lecture that Ralph, myself, and Frank Morales, associate pastor at St. Mark's Church in the Bowery, and also leader of the New York 9/11 Truth Movement, and for many decades, a leader of the squatters movement in New York. Frank is a particular expert on the issues of the militarization of the police and the imposition of martial law. And that was the topic of the evening, 9/11, permanent war, and the repressive apparatus of the state. Is martial law on the agenda? Some people say the issue isn't the question, is martial law on the agenda? But what we do in this presentation, this extended presentation covering three CDs, is describe the abrogation of civil liberties and the steps, the long-standing plans of the capitalist rulers to repress and suppress dissent. So, Ralph?
Well, Maya, what we're talking about here are plans that have been part of virtually every presidency in the 20th century, and certainly escalated in the most recent years. But the preparations for the imposition of autocratic rule in the United States have been framed by every presidency through executive orders, and indeed, in the more recent period, in the Atlantic Monthly, the Armageddon plan by James Mann, cover story of the March 2004 issue of the Atlantic Monthly, set forth how once a year during the 1980s, Dick Cheney and Ron Donald Rumsfeld vanished. Cheney was working diligently on Capitol Hill as a congressman. Rumsfeld, who served as Gerald Ford's Secretary of Defense, an executive of the J.D. Searle and Company, the pharmaceutical company, they were disappearing each year. For several times a year, and they made their way to Andrews Air Force Base outside of Washington, where in the middle of the night they were joined by 60 federal officials who were then taken to a remote location in the United States, a disguised military base, an underground bunker, a convoy of lead-lined trunks carrying sophisticated communications equipment, and other gear were designated for each of these locations. And there they met with pre-selected officials from the military and intelligence apparatus and members of the U.S. ruling class, where they prepared, as James Mann outlines it in the Armageddon Plan, for arbitrary and martial law, indeed wherein from bunkers and from designated places the military would rule the United States and the Constitution and the Congress would be no longer in any way involved in the affairs of state.
Well, Ralph, if you recall, at the time of 9/11, Dick Cheney did do a disappearing act and was stationed in a bunker, and they were testing these waters. They've been testing these waters over and over again, and this is what we discuss during the over 3 hours of 9/11, permanent war, and repressive apparatus of the state. Is martial law on the agenda? The number to telephone is 212-209-2950. And also, for those of you listening overseas and in other parts of the country, this premium is on the WBAI website. Go to wbai.org/donate, and you'll find 9/11, Permanent War and the Repressive Apparatus of the State. It's a three-CD, audio CD set, for your contribution of $100. And as you know, MasterCard, Visa, debit card, checks, cash, money orders. It's all possible to pay. It's possible to pay with any form of currency. 212-209-2950. This is an impressive program, we have to say ourselves. We enjoy listening to it over and again, and we learn each time. Each time I listen, I learn something else from Ralph or from Frank. So please, 212-209-2950. We're going to play some excerpts that people who've been just tuning in for the first time may not have heard before. And at 8 o'clock, we're going to play some excerpts that we haven't played before. Max?
Yes, indeed. Are we hitting it?
Yes.
Very good.
What else did Dick Cheney say? He said on September 16, 2001, quote, "We have to work the dark side," Vice President Dick Cheney told NBC's Tim Russert 5 days after 9/11. Quote, "We've got to spend time in the shadows using sources and methods that are available to our intelligence agencies. It's going to be vital to us to use any means at our disposal," end quote. He said that on September 16th to the press. 1 day later, September 17th, President Bush signed a secret presidential executive order authorizing the CIA to create paramilitary teams to hunt, capture, detain, or kill designated terrorists almost anywhere in the world. The first targets, Afghanistan, and later it moved. This interrogation program was based on the Phoenix program. CIA involved psychologists who had developed the Phoenix program. They brought them back. They also held discussions, it's now been revealed, with the intelligence services of Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and of course the Mossad. Hand in hand, the CIA and the Mossad have worked throughout the world. They used outside contractors, particularly psychologists, as I mentioned, who were experienced in torture techniques. What are these techniques? Waterboarding, cages known as the dog box, so small you can't stand, hooding, that is cutting off sensory access, bombarding people with music, particularly heavy metal and rap music, sleep deprivation, isolation, no bed so that you either have to sleep on chilly, very cold as it gets in Afghanistan, or extreme heat. And of course, most of all, dehumanization. Systematic infliction of suffering with putrid water, rotten food, no access to showers. And that is where it begins. What does it mean here in the United States? January 22nd of this year, the ACLU, as it does each year, issued a State of Civil Liberties in America. And they pointed to the expanding executive power. And what does that mean, expanding executive power? That's an architecture of a dictatorship. They refer to, first, the Military Commissions Act of 2006, which eliminated a cornerstone of our Constitution because it made the president judge and jury. What do they mean by that? They mean habeas corpus, that is, the right to challenge the state as to why you are being held. And it has been accepted, it's been part of due process of law for citizens and non-citizens throughout the history of the United States. And that was taken away for non-citizens. That is an incredible step. This is a right of common law and due process that has existed for hundreds and hundreds of years, not just in the United States, but as part of British common law. It also gave the president the sole power to determine who should be held indefinitely without being charged with a crime and what constitutes torture. Gave the president the authority to declare a person an enemy combatant. Held indefinitely here in the United States? Think about what that means, so-called democracy. They also pointed to the National Security Administration and domestic surveillance, what many have now called their surveillance state. For 5 years, the National Security Administration conducted illegal, widespread electronic surveillance. It's still going on, we know. Tapping phones, reading email messages without warrant, and no Congress has ever said this is legal. And yet, here we have the National Security Administration, widespread electronic surveillance. Government powers have been expanded to cover more data collection. This is the surveillance society, whether it's Matrix or TIPS that Admiral Poindexter had tried to institute. That means gathering up. They can do this without our knowledge. Gather up business records, health records, the so-called patient protection, the HIPAA. You sign every time you go to the doctor. Doctor doesn't show you the fine print. The fine print says for the HIPAA, the so-called Privacy Act, that if any federal, state, or local government authority wants access to your health records, they have immediate access without your knowing. But it goes on. For your banking records, we now all know that AT&T, Verizon, all the major companies, without even being forced to, without subpoena, gave telephone records, millions and millions of telephone records to the government. And then, of course, the major, major piece of legislation, the Patriot Act, is pointed to by the ACLU. When you think about what happened with the Patriot Act, there was only one vote in the Senate against it, Russ Feingold. And in the House, it was 357 to 66 for its passage. There have been 215 executive orders, many of them secret. Sneak and peek warrants, which delve into health care, as I said before, and financial records. The opening of postal mail without warrant. The FBI and Pentagon files that are kept on activists and are shared now by police agencies and the military. Informants placed within organizations, which is a longstanding policy, of course, of the United States. And the expansion of this, that it's not just with anti-war groups, but it's been exposed that informants have been placed within Greenpeace and PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. There is an expansion with the Animal Enterprise Act. If you say something against an animal enterprise that affects its economic well-being, that is considered an act of terror. So next time you say something about McDonald's, you are possibly a terrorist. Torture and abuse, the ACLU mentions. The government continues to claim that the president has the power, and he can delegate it, to designate anyone as an enemy combatant and to detain them indefinitely. And hundreds still remain at Guantanamo, although the U.S. admits 140 are innocent. And none of those people have been able to learn why they were captured, tortured, and detained. There have been extensive, severe human rights abuses with extraordinary renditions and secret prisons, the CIA maintaining secret prisons abroad.
You're listening to an excerpt from 9/11, Permanent War and the Repressive Apparatus of the State. It's a 3-CD set over 3 hours of presentations by myself, Maya Schoen, Ralph Schoenman, and Frank Morales with an extended discussion period. We know you're going to appreciate it. $100 contribution to WBAI, 212-209-2950. Get on the phone. We're here for just up until 9 o'clock, and that's it. That's it for this fund drive, and that's the end of your opportunity to have this impressive presentation. Ralph?
Well, Maya, in the National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 51, as reported in the press, Bush, quote, prepares martial law. Now, every president since Franklin Roosevelt has drawn up plans for martial law, We've discussed very often on Taking Aim Nixon's Operation Garden Plot and Rex 84 Alpha Ronald Reagan and the Homeland Security Act in 2002 is very much in this tradition. But the editorial page of the Tennessean Chattanoogan on May 24th, 2007 makes very clear, brothers and sisters, what we're dealing with here. The editorial is headed, Bush Makes Power Grab. President Bush, without so much as issuing a press statement on May 9th, signed a directive that grants near-dictatorial powers to the Office of the President. The National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive with the dual designation NSPD 51 as National Security Presidential Directive and HSPD 20 as a National Security Presidential Directive under the Office of the President allows for a new continuity coordinator directly answerable and exclusively so to the President. And it calls for plans for national essential functions of all federal, state, local, territorial, and tribal governments and all private sector organizations to function exclusively under the President's directive as for national emergency. It defines catastrophic emergency as any incident, regardless of location, that results in levels of casualties, damage, or disruption affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or government functions. So as the Tennessee Chattanoogan continues, when this president determines a catastrophic emergency has occurred, he can take over all government functions and direct all private sector activity to ensure control. Translated into layman's terms, when this president determines a national emergency, he can declare to the Office of the Presidency powers assumed by dictators to direct any and all government and business activity. This is the Tennessee Chattanoogan. The directive specifies that the Assistant to the President for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism will be designated as a national continuity coordinator and will be the exclusive forum for policy coordination. Now that indeed is interesting because NSPD 51 supersedes the National Emergency Act that was prior created that authorized the new position of National Continuity Coordinator, and now this without any specific act of Congress authorizing the position. The Chattanoogan continues. This is what is well in place, brothers and sisters. And this three-hour CD elucidates this, specifies how it operates, the timetable, and the underlying politics that require it for the ruling class.
Very important, extremely important. Each week on Taking Aim, we present, we document, we analyze. This couldn't take place. Couldn't be brought to you, each and every one of you, without the presence of WBAI. Now is the time. Get to the phone, 212-209-2950. Contribute to WBAI. Contribute to yourself. Make this your moment. Make this the moment to have as a gift to you. 9/11, permanent war, and the repressive apparatus of the state is martial law on the agenda. Nowhere will you find this documentation, this analysis, presented in such a coherent and interesting form and easily accessible, something that each and every one of you will have, will understand, will want to share, will want to go out and say from the rooftops, please contribute to WBAI. 212-209-2950. The phones are starting to ring. Let's make it a roll. 212-209-2950.
Well, Maya, I want to emphasize that what we do in this three-hour broadcast is not merely to adumbrate the violation of civil liberties or the threats to the Constitution or that sort of thing, which is done often and frequently enough, but rather to show that this is the inexorable logic of the late capitalist economy in crisis, in permanent crisis, and that these proceedings are linked directly to the treason at the top that represents the events of September 11th. September 11th was the predicate. September 11 was the false flag operation to allow for permanent war abroad and massive repression at home, and to terrorize the people of our country with the specter of terror, the category of terror, the state terror, in reality, that is the expression of crisis of this system in terminal decay. The World Socialist website, brothers and sisters, in an important article on July 16th called Bush's Assertion of Executive Power, The Logic of Presidential Military Dictatorship, spells out what we have been elucidating here and rarefies exactly the relationship between these repressive measures that are just now put in place in an explicit fashion, the geostrategic role of the American ruling class, the hegemonic position that it is attempting to secure on a global scale, and indeed the authoritarian measures necessary to suppress opposition from the people of the United States. The executive order that was signed by Bush in June of last year, blocking property of persons who threaten stabilization efforts in Iraq,
Ralph, I'm going to stop you right here because that is information on the CD, and the phones need to ring. If when Ralph talks, phones stop ringing. It's always everybody's waiting on, you know, sitting on the edge of their seats, waiting to hear more of Ralph Schoenman. Well, you can't hear more of Ralph Schoenman without the phones ringing, 212-209-2950. That's the melody that we're going to have, the phone number, 212-209-2950. It isn't often that we pause at WBAI and bring the opportunity to contribute to your station, to our station, to each and every one of us. We make this possible. Everyone who listens, who contributes, who volunteers in any way, shape, or form, that's what creates the WBAI community. And if you think about it, when WBAI has fund drives, it's not just a standard pitch. It's not like what you have with ads day in, day out, where you're inundated on television. No. Or on the radio. No. We prepare special gifts for you, special programming. And that's what we've done here. Very special programming. 9/11, permanent war, and the repressive apparatus of the state. How timely is it as the presidential elections heat up to pose these questions, to review the true nature of class power, of what the ruling class is. Fibber McGee and Molly, twiddly-dee, twiddly-dum. Here we have chapter and verse breaking down the myths, demystifying, and in response to questions from the audience and comments from the audience, delving deeper, peeling away the layers of the onion so that each and every one of us is empowered. 212-209-2950. Please get on the phone. This is your opportunity to contribute, to be part of the WBAI community. 212-209-2950. And for those of you overseas taking aim, we know from our website is heard in over 77 countries and probably more. The statistics give you the top ranking hits on your website. And those people, please go, and you too should contribute to WBAI, the station that makes taking aim possible. We wouldn't be here without the wonderful, wonderful staff at WBAI. 212-209-2950, and on the internet at www.wbai/donate.
Well, Maya, the Independent in London on October 19th, 2007, published an important article about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, bucking the trend and raking in cash from the U.S. weapons industry. The article spells it out. The U.S. arms industry is backing Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Wall Street's favorites, investment bankers, have opened their wallets in unprecedented amounts for the two senators, or the senator from New York, Hillary Clinton, and the senator from Illinois, Barack Obama. And it spells it out. The top five U.S. arms manufacturers, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, General Dynamics, and Raytheon, have been giving more money to these two candidates than to the Republicans taken together. What we're looking at here is the clear indication that for all the rhetoric, the ruling class is compelled to persist in its dependence upon arms, addicted to arms in an ever-increasing amount, trillions of dollars in arms. The entire capitalist economy linked to this deficit spending provided by priming the pump for military outlay. $10 trillion in 40 years, more than the combined value of everything produced in the United States. And that's what underlies these executive orders. That's why the retiring military chief, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Chief General Peter Pace, declares in a statement remarkable for its explicitness when he was being retired as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he's addressing President Bush, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, over 400 high-ranking Pentagon and military officials, and his successor as the Joint Chiefs of Staff chief and the top military advisor, Admiral Michael Mullen. And he says, the United States will not countenance a change in policy based upon public opposition to the war. Quote, I want everyone to understand, this is not about whether people can vote our way out of a war. We are not going to change policy based on such things. He goes on to say that the only allowable issue for the public to in any way undertake or to embrace is how this war is to be won. Not whether, not when, and not by any suggestion of removal of troops. If there were a national referendum to end the war, Pace stated, the government will disregard it and continue. We will prevail. There's no doubt about that. You cannot have a more explicit declaration before the apparatus of control. And that, by the way, is conjoined by the statement on February 6, 2008, by the director of counterintelligence, Michael McConnell, who stated that there will be an attack imminently on the United States, and that the preparations for this are in place. And by those preparations, he is clearly indicating the repressive apparatus. They will stage something. That's what we're being told here. And those are the issues that we examine in great depth in this three-hour CD, brothers and sisters.
As you can see, Ralph is so excited about all the material and the information and imparting this information. That's where his real excitement comes in, is imparting the information analysis, empowering people. And that's why each week we make the effort to come to you, to come into your homes, to come into your cars, to come into your workplace, to be with you through the airwaves. 212-209-2950. Let's continue to make it happen. It isn't a given that WBAI will be on the air tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. It's only possible when each and every one of us steps up to the plate, when each and every one of us makes the commitment, digs into our pockets, makes a sacrifice, really, why call it a sacrifice? Makes the gift to ourselves. Be as generous as you can. Be as generous as it is possible for you to be. To maintain WBAI, your outlet, your news outlet, your cultural outlet, your political outlet on the world. Where else do you get the analysis, the community activism, the relationship with programming and programmers? 212-209-2950. This is our station, yours, mine, each and every one of us. We try, we do our best, and it doesn't, the electric company depends on money. They don't care about our volunteer labor. 212-209-2950. Our gift to you, 9/11.
Yes, Max.
I just want to say that there's a lot of energy tonight in the station and a room full of volunteers, and I'm hoping that we can give them more to do and get these phones ringing one more time, because there's so much information, 3 hours is the premium, but we've only got a two-hour slot, so we're only going to hear a fraction of that information. And if people want to hear it in its entirety, they're going to have to get the premium. $100 gets you this package of three CDs over 3 hours. But we've got to get the phones lit up one more time before we can return to that. 212-209-2950. People are standing by.
And we have so many wonderful excerpts to play. And to hear them, we need to have the phones ringing. Please. It's a little slow tonight for us. We're used to the phones being off the hook and there not being enough volunteers.
Well, tonight we have the volunteers.
Now we have the volunteers. Let's put them to work.
And
somebody is starting the ball rolling.
Two callers on the line, and there's room for more. 212-209-2950.
And Max and Maya, I want to mention here that the documentation that we set forth in this 3 hours is constantly amplified by the discussion that occurs afterwards in the 3 hour CD. People opposing the question of how we fight back, what is to be done, how we spread the word, how we show people the relationship between the repression and the economic crisis in the United States. Here's Newsweek on the 27th of August, 2008. The head of National Counterterrorism Center speaks out, "We are going to be hit again." Retired Vice Admiral John Scott Redd, head of the National Counterterrorism Center, stated, "We have very, very strong indicators that an attack on the United States is imminent." And he speaks about biological and chemical and nuclear weapons, as they all do. Al-Qaeda has an active plot to hit the United States. John Scott Redd, the Newsweek article continues, the head of the government's National Counterterrorism Center specified that this successful terror attack on the United States is inevitable. Now, inevitable as they conceive it to be, their preparations for the inevitable reflect that they are the authors of the inevitable because they have an agenda. And nowhere is that agenda made more clear, brothers and sisters, than the executive order of July 17th by George Bush, July 17th of 2007, entitled Blocking Property of Persons Who Threaten Stabilization Efforts in Iraq. The executive order authorizes the president to, quote, block the property of persons determined to have committed or to pose a significant risk of committing acts that have the purpose or effect of threatening the peace or stability of Iraq or the government of Iraq, or undermining U.S. efforts to promote economic reconstruction and political reform, or undermining the humanitarian assistance to the Iraqi people. Anything, brothers and sisters, that you do, say, think, or share with the persons most intimately associated with you comes under this repressive act.
Okay, Max, let's go to the next excerpt and inspire people to contribute.
Not very long ago, namely August 20th, 2007, an article appeared in something called the Family Affairs Foundation, called Conquering the Drawbacks of Democracy. It's by Philip Atkinson. He says, George W. Bush is the 43rd president of the United States, sworn in for a second term after being chosen by the majority of citizens to be president. Yet he is generally despised, with many citizens of Western civilization expressing contempt for his person, his policies, sentiments which now abound. This rage against President Bush is the inevitable result of the system of government known as democracy. The inadequacy of democracy, which is ruled by the majority, is undeniable. It demands adopting ideas because they are popular, rather than because they are necessary. This means any man chosen to act as an agent of the people is placed in an invidious position, because if he commits folly that is popular, he will be held responsible for the result, and if he refuses to commit folly, he will be detested by most citizens because he frustrates their demands. Now, this is a detailed article, but let's look at what he sets forth as necessary as opposed to popular. The wisest course would be to use nuclear weapons and slaughter Iraqis until they either have complied with our demands or until they are all dead. But if we do this with little risk or expense and no American army left exposed, the cowardly electorate might instantly end his term of office, if not his freedom or his life. The simple truth is that modern weapons now mean a nation must practice genocide or commit suicide. Israel provides the perfect example. If they do not raise Iran, the Iranians will fulfill their boast and lead a movement to remove Israel. And he states, President Bush so far has not been able to do what is necessary. He cannot use the nation's powerful weapons. By elevating popular fancy over truth, and democracy is not clearly an enemy of truth, but of duty and justice. It is the worst form of government which President Bush must overcome, not just the situation in Iraq, but democratic government. Bush has a valuable historical example he can choose. Follow the ancient Roman general Julius Caesar, struggling to conquer ancient Gaul, and not only to defeat the Gauls, but defeat political enemies in Rome who would destroy him the moment his tenure as consul, and he puts in brackets president, would end. He pacified Gaul by mass slaughter, and then he used his successful army to crush all political opposition at home and establish him as permanent ruler of ancient Rome. And this brilliant action not only ended the personal threat to Caesar, but ended civil chaos threatening anarchy in ancient Rome as it does today in the United States. Bush must copy Julius Caesar and order his army to empty Iraq of Arabs and repopulate that country with Americans. And if he does this, he will achieve immediate results, popularity with his military, enrichment of America by conquering an Arabian Iraq. And he goes on. Philip Atkinson is not a marginal person. This family foundation, which is associated, as I mentioned, with the National Review, is also something that has been supported and sponsored by the Defense Policy Board. Let me run by you some of the members of that board. James R. Schlesinger, James Woolsey, Donald Rumsfeld. What are some of the affiliated groups? The Center for Security Policy, Hoover Institution, Project for the New American Century, Empower America, RAND Corporation, Gilead Science Pharmaceutical Company, General Instrument Corporation, G.D. Searle Pharmaceutical Company, Bechtel, Gulfstream Aerospace, Tribune Company, Metricom Inc., Sears Roebuck. So I submit to you that this articulation, that from the point of view of the ruling class, it is democratic entitlement and the potential involvement of the mass of our people in affecting and determining policy which represents to them the immediate, the urgent, the inexorable challenge to the sustaining of their rule. Here is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Peter Pace, on October 4th, 2007, in his retirement ceremony. The World Socialist website describes it as following, in a statement remarkable for its blunt, explicit rejection of democracy. The outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Peter Pace, stated on Monday that opponents of the war in Iraq cannot be permitted to bring it to an end by voting. He made his comments before an audience including President George W. Bush, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, and over 300 high-ranking Pentagon and military officials, as he swore in his successor as the president's top military advisor, Admiral Michael Mullen. I want everyone to understand, there is no dialogue about can we vote our way out of a war. The only dialogue that is permissible is how, where, and when, and best way in which to win that war. Now, this is a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff speaking before the President and the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Treasury and 300 high-ranking military officers and officials of the Pentagon. The anti-war population will not be allowed to use the ballot box to compel a change in policy. We will prevail. There is no doubt about that. By the way, parenthetically, General Pace had made some previous statements in which he informed the Senate committee last month that homosexuality is immoral and should not be permitted in the military because it violates God's law. So it is, to a very real extent, a measure of the decomposition and degeneration and criminalization of the ruling class in the United States that such things that would appear to be right out of cloud cuckoo land are, in fact, formally and with full determination set forth as policy. And I think that will illuminate for us the significance of Presidential Executive Order July 17th, which, with the stroke of a pen, has removed the right to dissent and to oppose the military agenda of the Pentagon in Iraq and that of U.S. imperialism at large. The executive order is entitled Blocking Property of Persons Who Threaten Stabilization Act Efforts in Iraq, providing the president with the authority to confiscate the assets of all persons who oppose the economic, military, and political policies of the United States in Iraq. I have issued an executive order blocking the property of persons determined to pose a significant risk of committing an act that has the purpose or effect of threatening the stability of Iraq, the government of Iraq, or of undermining our policies of economic reconstruction and political reform in Iraq. Under this executive order, opposing the war becomes an illegal act. It criminalizes the anti-war movement. It permits the executive to seize the property of any such individuals. That means that they are entitled to seize our bank accounts, our homes, our automobiles, the clothes on our back. And the executive order, and this is not Phil Atkinson ruminating in the American Family Foundation's publication. This is the executive order issued in true formality and particularity. Any who aid those whose property has been so seized, you know, if your brother lends you $5, if your neighbor lets you use his car, they are subject to precise penal consequences outlined in the executive order.
Doesn't he take you for a ride? Chapter and verse, the detail, the incredible detail presented by Ralph Schoenemann, and putting it all in context. 212-209-2950 is the telephone number to call to make 9/11 permanent war and the repressive apparatus of the state as martial law on the agenda yours. This 3-CD, high-quality audio CD set is yours for your contribution to WBAI. Ralph?
Well, Maya, you see, this process of preparing the American people for the necessity for arbitrary rule is as old as the ruling class. It's not as if this is something new. But the crisis is deepening. And the measures that we are seeing increasingly made part of the furniture of our lives really represent the architecture of the fascist state. We know, brothers and sisters, when the moment comes that you and I, with our own candidates and our own program and our own project for transforming this country, not in rhetorical terms within the framework of the ruling class like the candidates of the Republican Democratic Party posture about, but in serious terms of dispossessing the handful of oligarchs who have control over our society. If we ever get close to winning such an election, they'll take the elections away. That's for they've made. There's no game, no question about their intent here. It's not a game with them. They're dead serious. So we may as well face the fact that the prospect of military rule and martial law, they don't constantly put these measures in place and at the highest levels of authority articulate the necessity of it idly and just as an exercise. No, they're dead serious about this. We have to take them at their, not just their word, but their deed, and we have to build a movement that anticipates and prepares to resist precisely that. Look, Matthew Rothschild in The Progressive published an article on the 7th of this month called FBI Deputizes Business. Today, more than 23,000 representatives of private industry are working quietly within the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. The members of this rapidly growing group called InfraGuard receive secret warnings of pending terrorist attacks before the public does and before elected officials do. Note that. In return, they provide information to the government. Now, the ACLU, brothers and sisters, has done a detailed report about this fascist rear guard that's being prepared. But the article spells out what InfraGuard represents. One business executive who showed me his InfraGuard card revealed that they have authority to shoot to kill in the event of martial law. 23,000 representatives of the corporate sector are a shock force with the right to shoot to kill. InfraGuard is the, quote, child of the FBI, stated Michael Hirschman, the chairman of the advisory board of the InfraGuard National Members Alliance and CEO of the international consulting firm, the Fairfax Group, which has been active in preparing this. InfraGuard, by the way, brothers and sisters, was begun in 1996, 12 years ago. Then Phyllis Schneck, the chairman of the board of directors of InfraGuard, stated the FBI cloned it and has become the prime mover behind the growth of InfraGuard over the last year. So we see here what we have. The ruling class and the enforcement arm of that ruling class, the CIA, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, now the Department of Homeland Security, are preparing to create brown shirts, shock troops, the same role that has been assigned to Blackwater and these privatized thugs. That's what we're looking at, brothers and sisters. It's the same kind of killer apparatus that they put in place in Argentina, in Guatemala, in Chile, in Uruguay, across Latin America, trained by the School of the Americas. Openly trained killer squad officers for carrying out these operations in societies abroad. As Malcolm said at the time of the Kennedy killing, you can't have death squads roaming the planet and think they're going to stop at your national frontiers. The chickens have come home to roost, and that is what, in this three-hour presentation, Frank Morales, Maya Schoen, and I have attempted to integrate, not merely to give you the data, but to provide a class analysis, the underlying politics, the dynamic, relating it to why 9/11 is required to permit all of this, the inside job that is treason at the top to terrorize us into numbed acquiescence in an agenda long prepared, an agenda to which the capitalist economy owes its potential survival as such. Those are the stakes. A crisis that engulfs a system in terminal decay, targeting us, the people of the United States. Those who have the greatest stake in removing this rotten system are being targeted by that system itself. And that's the data, that's the elucidation, that's the analysis, that's the content of this three-hour certificate of certificate. That's a beautiful one, brothers and sisters. Certificate of deposit is CD, but not what the capitalists put together. No, what we have put together for you to fight back.
212-209-2950. 9/11, permanent war, and the repressive apparatus of the state. And the question we address throughout the evening is martial law on the agenda? And provide chapter and verse about how they will bring about martial law, what have been the changes in the laws. We have been discussing this for many years now, as long as we've been on Taking Aim, and we're now in our seventh year broadcasting, thanks to each and every one of you. but it won't be possible. It won't be possible for us to continue unless the phones start ringing. 212-209-2950 is how we gauge the what we mean to the WBAI community is how you support the station. 212-209-2950.
And right now, Maya, we have a matching fund. An anonymous listener has donated a $500 matching fund with the intention that it be made up by listeners who perhaps can't afford more than the basic $25 membership rate. But your money, in essence, will be worth double. But we have to match that money in the next half hour. Now, I think we could do it by 8 o'clock, which is 9 minutes away, if the phones start to ring. 212-209-2950. There are three callers on the line.
Thanks to the person who gave this matching fund. We had a matching fund last week, and now we have another. This is really starting a new impetus, a new challenge for all the Taking Aim listeners and to all those of you who are listening for the first time. 212-209-2950. Max, take it away.
Well, we have three callers on the line, and there's room for more because we have Reggie, Tony, Diane, Dwayne, Arafa, and Firefly all in the back, and Dennis all in the back,
wow,
eager to take your phone calls. 212-209-2950. If we can make this matching fund, let's put it to rest by 8 o'clock, which means that your $25 full-year membership to WBAI at the basic rate, whether or not you can get a premium, if you can't afford it, well, now your money is worth twice as much to us. We have a time limit to make this matching fund, and I'd like to shorten that time limit considerably. We were given a half hour, but I think we can do it in the next 8 minutes. And there are four callers on the line. We're waiting to hear now from you. 212-209-2950. If you find this information enlightening, informative, provocative, 212-209-2950. Five callers on the line. There are now five callers on the line. And at 9 o'clock, I'm getting a signal to remind people of the special musical treat coming up at 9 o'clock. Sugar in My Bowl with Joyce Jones and her special guest Patty Austin. But that's not for another hour. In the meantime, six callers on the line. 212-209-2950. Is that seven? There's a seventh caller. So now we've stretched our volunteers' capacity to the maximum. Now if you call, please wait, give them a chance to pick up all the lines, because now everyone back there is involved in taking a pledge. But every pledge is vital to WBAI. We're coming down the home stretch of our winter fun drive, just a few more days to go. Seems like we've been doing this forever, but the end is in sight. But the more people who come on board and support WBAI, the stronger we can be going forward into the future and bringing you this exciting, provocative information. 212-209-2950. There are now nine callers. Nine calls coming through. Please be patient. Please be patient. If you call and you get a busy signal, well, you won't get a busy signal, but your line may not be picked up immediately. Be patient. You have made the commitment to make a donation to WBAI. Follow through. Don't give up on us. We certainly won't give up on you. 212-209-2950. It's amazing to see all of these. My indication are red blinking lights when people are calling in, and it's always thrilling for me to see the amount of lights lit up like right now. Usually only happens when I test the phones as we set up for the fun drive.
You're doing great, Max.
Well, and so are our listeners. There's just an amazing flood of calls coming in right now. 212-209-2950. You can use Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and we encourage you to use electronic funding, because WBAI gets to put that money directly into our account and pay off some of those bills that are outstanding, and then put a little aside for the coming bills until our next fund drive, which won't be until May.
So good.
We can all relax and take a breather at that point.
When we'll have another incredible premium for you. And Max, I think what we can do is skip to the CD that we were going to play between 8 and 9, because that's a special CD that I prepared.
Well, that would be the second track?
Yes. Kathy put it all on tracks.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's the third or fourth track. Well, wherever we're going to listen to, we're going to listen to.
Okay,
well.
Let's just go with the way, yeah.
So, because the discussion was so lively, and Frank and Ralph addressed the significant question of what we can actually do should martial law be imposed and how we can prevent it. What are the steps to take and what to do should martial law be imposed? And it has been imposed recently in New Orleans with Katrina. It was a real dry run. It was called Little Somalia.
By the
Army Times.
There were 70,000 thugs. Blackwater in the lead amongst them, terrorizing the population, the victim population of New Orleans and the Gulf.
And sure enough, Ralph, as soon as we start talking, the phone stopped ringing. So, Max, I'm going to let you take it away.
Well, I just would like to remind people, now the lines have died down. There are only four callers at this moment on the line, which means...
Well, let's get it back up, and then we'll go to...
If you called a moment ago, and perhaps the phone didn't get picked up, try again now, because we should have a few people waiting, standing by. You might speak to Reggie, or Tony, or Diane, or Dwayne, or Arafa, or Firefly, or perhaps even, if you're lucky, Dennis, not the Menace. Our man in charge of the tally room this evening, 212-209-2950. If we can get four more calls on the line, they're so busy back there that we're not seeing the money indicator rise. We're over $1,000 in the first half hour, but, you know, we haven't seen any of the money from our latest flurry come in. We could easily reach $5,000, I think, by 9 o'clock. This show will be on for another hour. This Taking Aim special.
Let's try higher.
WBAI New York. Well, you know, it's more difficult in the evenings, and this is one of the bigger responses I've seen in evening hours, quite frankly.
Well, thanks to all of you who are calling, and we hope more of you do call. Remember, if you've already made your pledge in the past weeks, call a friend. That's the best way to get people engaged, is get on the telephone, send them an email, and say, hey, you've got to listen. When I sent out the notice about the show, the first time I sent it out, people wrote back to me because I had the wrong date. And consequently, I knew they were reading my message, and we sent it out again, and then they sent it out. It went out throughout the world. People take the notices and then broadcast it on. That's the incredible power of the computer, and consequently, the computer is broadening the scope of WBAI's listenership around the world.
Yes, taking
you
aim
make
is,
it possible.
Taking Aim is now heard in 77 countries.
And also, very importantly, it's heard within the prison system of New York and New Jersey. Very important. This station is a lifeline to people who are incarcerated, the political prisoners, the prisoners of the capitalist state. Please.
Over 2 million of them, brothers and sisters, and subject to the most fiendish repression. Euphemisms called administrative segregation, which is basically isolation and lockup. A whole generation has been targeted in this way, which, as I often say, black male youth are an endangered species in the United States. This is class repression.
And so when you make your contribution, you are helping yourself, you are helping your family, and you are helping another person in need. 212-209-2950. Am I going deaf or are the phones quiet?
No, every line at this moment is available for a pledge to come in.
Okay.
That's the polite way of saying all the calls have gone, and we need to make this $500 matching fund. We've got 30 seconds, so if you have a $25 donation, you're already a member, let's say, but you would like to just support Taking Aim. Your smaller contributions really add up now because they are worth double to us as we make this $500 matching fund. We had 8 or 9 callers at a time a moment ago, but now there is no one. Now there is room for you to make your commitment to WBAI Become a member for a full year. There's the first call. Now, if we can light up that board one more time, let's get 8 or 9 calls coming in all at once. Give those volunteers a reason to be happy that they came down and donated their time to help us with the calls. Well, they're here, and now we're wondering if you are there. Be here for WBAI, 212-209-2950. And if you would like the 3D set, 911 and the Permanent War, is that the title?
No, 911, Permanent War, and the Repressive Apparatus of the State is martial law on the agenda.
And that's a $100 pledge for over 3 hours on CD. 212-209-2950. That's it. Now we've got 3 calls. Can we get a 4th and a 5th? 212-209-2950. It is 8 p.m. You're tuned to listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI in New York, taking AIM special for another hour with Ralph Schoenman and Meyer Schoen, and then a music special at 9 o'clock. But right now, we need your calls. We want to finish this matching fund where we're probably halfway there. But only 2 callers on the line. Now it's your turn. Other people have done their part for the last 3 weeks and for the last hour tonight. But now, if you're listening and waiting for the information to continue, it will continue, but we need to hear from you so that WBAI can continue to bring you information like you were hearing tonight that you will hear it nowhere else. That's a 5th call. We have 5 callers on the line. Still room for you. 212-209-2950.
Okay, Max, let's give them a little taste, and you can call while the program is running.
Yes, please. The volunteers would love to hear from you while the show continues. I've jumped ahead, so we're into the second section of tonight's information, and here it is. Thanks, everyone, for calling, and keep it up.
I wrote about the 1993 bombing at the time. I said evidence shows the hand of the Federal Bureau of Investigation in the bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993. Why? Because the person who organized that event was Imad Ali Salem of Egyptian intelligence in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who on the instructions of the Federal Bureau of Investigation office in New York approached the mosque of the blind Egyptian cleric in New Jersey and in Brooklyn to recruit young men to meetings where he proposed not only the bombing of the World Trade Center, but what became known as the Landmarks case. Blow up the Statue of Liberty, George Washington Bridge, Lincoln Tunnel, Holland Tunnel, Brooklyn Bridge. Throw in the UN while you're at it. This judge, to cut to the chase here, brothers and sisters, acknowledged that Ali Mohammed was a principal figure in this operation, that the explosives were supplied by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that the safe house was organized by Guzi Hadass of the Mossad. Judge Mukasey determined famously, he stated, how fortunate that the explosives were provided by the American authorities. Think of how devastating they might have been if they had been provided by Sheikh Omar Abdulrahman. This man, by the way, apart from his involvement in the Zionist movement and the Likud, his association with Michael Chertoff, who was involved very much in the FBI's operation in 1993, Dov Zakheim, and so on, is a particular crony of Rudolf Giuliani. He presided over the honoring of Giuliani when he was made prosecutor in New York. He was a partner of Giuliani's in a law firm, and his son is now in Giuliani's law firm, and he is a principal organizer of the fundraising for the Giuliani candidacy. Michael Mukasey, brothers and sisters. By the way, Giuliani has just put forward a proposition which he intends to make formal legislation. Many Democrats support it, which will make Israel a member of NATO and make it automatic and obligatory that in any conflict in which Israel is engaged, automatically the United States will be militarily committed as well. So clearly, brothers and sisters, between treating us as retards, mentally unfit, authorizing military tribunals, holding Arabs and Muslims across the United States under the rubric of material witness, advocating an adjudicatory system which dispenses with all this unfortunate business. I mean, he spelled it out in the Wall Street Journal. The first 10 amendments to the American Constitution were ancillary and entirely secondary to the importance of what mattered with respect to the Constitution, which arrogated to the executive the responsibility to defend the population in time of war. That's what's central to the Constitution. Forget this First Ten Amendment nonsense, which is largely decorative. Can you caricature this stuff? Does Philip Atkinson, Pache, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Peter Pace, seem lunatic today in the light of what the next Attorney General of the United States is on record as representing and advocating, promoted and presented by the leadership of the Democratic Party, who makes Alberto Gonzalez seem somewhat reticent in comparison? No, brothers and sisters, the architecture of the fascist state is well in place, on the agenda, inexorably linked to the next adventure, the 60 nations targeted for this desperate ruling class, a system indeed in terminal decay, incapable of meeting the most elementary demands and needs and aspirations of the mass of our people, a decadent, predatory, criminal conspiracy against the survival of vast millions of human beings. That is the nature of this rule. That is the essence of 9/11. September 11th is not just merely a physical attack on a couple of buildings, brothers and sisters. It is the means through which this entire ideological rationale for a system designed to deprive us of the formal protections that we have assumed to be ours, rapidly advancing towards this Armageddon, if you like, that lunacy of this magnitude, formal and institutionalized and openly declared, is a measure of the degeneration of capitalism as an economic, social, and political order, brothers and sisters. It is the late capitalist decay with which we are presented. That is what 9/11 expresses. And that is what affords us the fulsome opportunity to prepare for a struggle not about a congressional inquiry, which is pissing up a rope. Who is going to do that for us? Not about impeaching Abercrombie Mufufnik or this one or that one or the other, but addressing the question of who rules. We cannot persuade these people. We can't influence these people. We can't change these people. We cannot contain these people. We have to overthrow and remove these people from power in the name of our mass, which requires the fulsome organization of a struggle on the part of the many against the degenerate few for the displacement of a system that is manifestly described and shown itself to be enemy of the needs of vast masses of human beings across this planet. That is our optimistic expectation that this system is declaring itself bankrupt in every sense of the word. So move forward with that expectation and that hope, because these measures are a measure of desperation and a signal of the incapacity of this ruling class, and a measure of our opportunity to speak for human decency, for transformation, and for the arrogation to ourselves of the right to determine our own affairs. Historically, that is a wonderful, opportune time to be alive and in struggle. Move forward, brothers and sisters. Thank you.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. You can hearing dynamic closing portion of Ralph Shulman's presentation, 9/11 from the war and the repressive apparatus of the state, with martial law on the agenda. This, we've only been able to play small excerpts. Excerpts here, excerpts there. But as you can see from the close of this incredible presentation by Ralph, this is a CD set, a premium that you don't want to be without. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. We have many volunteers in the WBAI studio. We had a matching grant from one of the listeners, one of the devoted listeners in the prior hour. Let's see if we can come up with another one for this and go out in style. Really make our contribution to WBAI. Maintain the staff. Maintain the facilities. Maintain our window on the world, our access to information and culture and news. Very important. Information, analysis, culture. What more is there? What more can you ask from a radio station? 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Max has been wonderful to come in and be at the helm and be dynamic and get you calling, so I'm going to turn it over to Max once again.
Well, thank you, and we do have many people to thank, and we will thank the rest of the callers in our remaining 49 minutes on this Taking Aim special. Also, I would like to remind people that if you've already given a donation, you're already a member, or perhaps you can't afford a financial contribution, your help answering the telephones is always welcome. We were lucky tonight that we had a full house of volunteers, but this drive continues through Saturday evening, around the clock, 24 hours a day, and if you can come down and help us out at any time, although especially 7 in the morning is a vital time, 7 to noon. We often are shorthanded at that point, but any time of the day or night. Tonight, for example, when the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade with Bill Weinberg comes your way with some amazing 50s Yugoslav folk music, well, he will want to have some volunteers standing by, too. And if you can help out on the telephones at any time, there's a different number to call in the evening, which is 212-209-2877 to volunteer. That's 209-2877. But the number to call to make a donation, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. $25 is the annual membership rate. It's low enough that just about anyone can become a member of WBAI, and we'd like to hear from some of you now. 212-209-2950.
I think people are still in shock after that closing remark of Ralph, and it's a get up and cheer, actually. And your way to get up and cheer is to get over to the telephone, 212-209-2950. You're not going to miss a moment. And we'll be back with more excerpts.
Yes, we have 20 minutes left on the CD of highlights that we'll be presenting tonight.
Right, but we won't until we get those phones on, jingling and filled and keep the volunteers happy.
One lonely caller on the line now. There's room for you and you and you. 212-209.
You know, brothers and sisters, I want to emphasize something, that we're all together locked in a struggle of the people who have taken it upon themselves the burden and responsibility and indeed the moral obligation to challenge power, brutal power, arbitrary power. Maya and I had the pleasure and privilege of having dinner recently with our dear friends Lynn Stewart, our Mother Courage, and her companion Ralph Poynter. When Lynn and Ralph were out here in California doing a series of meetings, particularly pertaining to the case of Lynn Stewart, who, after all, was been victimized and chosen as a target by this very repressive state. For what reason? Because she spent a lifetime defending those who are under attack. And I want you to emphasize, brothers and sisters, that when you get this CD, it's about the struggle that a lifetime of effort such as that of Lynn Stewart and Ralph Poynter represent. And Lynn, because she was defending the blind Egyptian sheikh who you heard discussed in this presentation, Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, who was set up and framed for the bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993, who was set up and framed for a plot to blow up the Lincoln Tunnel, the Holland Tunnel, the George Washington Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Statue of Liberty, the United Nations. Who is preparing to destroy these very symbols of our civilization and culture in New York City alone? Who is doing this? It's the ruling class of the United States. Those are the criminals. Those are the plotters. And they would father their own crimes upon those who have opposed them out of principle over a long lifetime of struggle. And when Lynn Stewart, the defender of the defenseless, comes to defend the sheikh against these false charges, the government then says, by defending an accused terrorist, she herself is a terrorist. Which means that due process is finished. That no lawyer can open their mouths for fear of being assimilated to the charges of the very person that they're defending. That's what's at stake here, brothers and sisters. That's what these CDs are about. And when we were with Ralph and Lynn, we were discussing, indeed, this very system of repression and its advance. At one point, I was referencing Michael Mukasey, the now Attorney General's, call in the Wall Street Journal for a parallel system which would treat those who are supposed to have been offending national security as if they were mentally ill. Mukasey says they shouldn't be entitled to due process. They should be treated as those who are committed to state institutions by administrative decree. That's his fix on civil liberties. That's his assessment of the merit of the First Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights, which he calls utterly secondary. Secondary. And one of the points that I want to make about this is that in the process of describing this parallel system, Ralph Pointer said, you know, they've had this parallel system in place for the poor, for the disadvantaged, for the black population of the United States from the beginning of this so-called republic. And indeed, that is true. Indeed, it is. When Watts rose up in Los Angeles, John F. Kennedy, who was obsessed with Green Berets and Rangers and Phoenix programs, it's the Kennedys who introduced the special weapons attack teams, SWAT units that militarized the police, that brought counterinsurgency, the equivalent of the Phoenix programs and Rangers in Vietnam, home into the cities. Watts was then treated to this. The parallel system has long been in place. And one of the victims of that, brothers and sisters, was a young man named Larry Davis in Harlem. And Larry Davis was set up by the police, and they came for him with guns. They came to kill him. Everybody knew it. And when Larry tried to defend himself, and after being fired upon by emergency service units, as they were called, he fired back. They tried to set him up for a murder operation. And Lynn was his lawyer who defended him. And Lynn and Bill Kunstler defended him, and the jury found against the government. And yet they got Larry Davis in jail on other trumped-up charges, and he was killed just a few days ago, stabbed to death in the prison by what undoubtedly is a government setup. And Lynn Stewart, on February 23rd, wrote a letter to the New York Times regarding Larry Davis, to whom it may concern. My friend and co-counsel Bill Kunstler must be spinning in his grave over the Times coverage of the murder of Larry Davis. And Lynn, in this extraordinary letter, sets out what happened. That the police fired at Larry Davis. That they came to get him. And she says, the crucial part of your story is the people living in the projects who called Larry, out the window as he was being arrested. His self-defense against well-armed superior forces, the stuff of legend. These folks still live in these projects, in the tenements of Bushwick and Harlem and Washington Heights. These people consider Larry a hero, especially after Louima, Diallo, and Bell. They may not read the New York Times, but they sure disagree with your assertion that the chronicle of Larry Davis is over. As long as there is aggression and oppression, there will be resistance. Sincerely, Lynn Stewart. Sincerely, brothers and sisters. Those are the stakes. It is not the crisis which is new, nor is it the evil that has changed. What we are describing in this three-hour CD is that parallel system that's now to become the official system of repression in the United States. Fight back. fight back, support this work, make this information your own.
And it's on WBAI that you will find out about the case of Larry Davis. For years, for decades, Bob Fass has been speaking with Larry Davis. It's only on WBAI. This is the voice of the oppressed. This is the voice of the courageous. 212-209-2950. WBAI, a treasure, and it needs your assistance. After all, it is your station. You are giving to yourself. You are creating your avenue to the world. 212-209-2950. This premium is our gift to you, our effort to say thank you. Thank you to all of you who have made it possible for us to be with you each and every week. 212-209-2950. Max, we can't see the lines. We're here in California. It's wonderful, all the people who help bring us to our friends and colleagues in New York each week.
Well, there are
two
calls in progress at the moment, which means there's plenty of room for a few more people. 212-209-2950. And the Times may have totally botched the Larry Davis coverage, but there was an article about Bob Fass's show last Thursday night, which I happened to tune into. He had been expecting a call to tape another talk with Larry Davis, and he was murdered before he got to make that call. So there's some speculation as to what it was that he felt was so urgent that he needed to get back on WBAI's airwaves to talk about. But check the Times website, you'll find a lovely article about Bob Fass's radio program of last
Thursday.
That's right, and that's important, brothers and sisters. Hear what Max is saying to you, that we are in the cockpit of the struggle and that WBAI is right there at the center. In fact, I have to tell you that when our brother, Michael Warren, who was assailed by the police in Brooklyn and brutalized when he intervened with his wife to stop the cops from beating to the ground a young black teenager, and they then turned on Michael in turn and began brutalizing him, it was fortuitous that a young woman who was passing by with a cell phone, Michael was able to call out to her, and she called WBAI. And I was on with Alambe Brath, the inimitable Alambe, on Afro-Kaleidoscope. We were having a discussion together. The call came in that Michael had been assailed, and the word went out on WBAI, and hundreds of people gathered at that station within minutes in Brooklyn, and the cops, we didn't know what had hit them. That's the role of WBAI. It's the beacon of resistance and of struggle and of information and of the essential understanding that allows us to act with intelligence and with effectiveness, brothers and sisters.
And that's the sort of effectiveness that WBAI can have if it's here. And you have to ensure that the radio station stays here with your calls of support to 212-209-2950. Oh, I'm being handed I haven't even started to thank the people from the first hour, and I've just been handed another big stack of cards. Maybe I should begin with Marianne of Greenwich, Connecticut. Thank you for that pledge. And Ronald of New Jersey, Sacreville, New Jersey. Moore, Madison, New Jersey, being heard from. And Mary of South Salem, New York. And Mariano of the Bronx. And George from South Orange, New Jersey. And from Brooklyn. Could it be Lynn Stewart and Ralph Pointer from Brooklyn, New York? Thank you so much for all you give. And Marcia or Marika, I'm not sure, from Edison, New Jersey. And Don of Mount Vernon, New York, my hometown. And Claude of Brooklyn. And Claude again. Of Brooklyn, Russell of Manhattan. 212-209-2950. Our tally has been growing slowly but steadily. Unfortunately, it's been more slow than steady in the last 10 minutes. 212-209-2950. We can't stop. Keep it coming. If you haven't made your pledge yet, $100 gets you this 3-CD package that we're offering this evening. $25 is the basic membership rate. If you'd like a lovely WBAI purple and gold t-shirt, $30, just $5 above the cost of a subscription, so that you can walk proudly and display the object of your affection right on your chest, the flying, flaming heart emblem of WBAI on a lovely purple background designed by our own producer, Sydney Smith.
And when the phones get jingle-linging and fill up, and to keep the volunteers busy, we have more to play, more excerpts to play.
We certainly do, but time is running out, so let's light up those phones one more time so that we can return to the premium to listen to some more of the audio. I will continue to thank a few people, but really, we have no callers right now on the line. 212-209.
The next section is incredible. Frank Morales talking about what to do should martial law be imposed.
Okay, I see the tally took another leap, but we're $330 from the next plateau, and we can make that with just two or three phone calls right now, 212-209-2950. Like Kevin from Springfield Gardens has called, and Perrine, Oakland, California.
That's right.
Okay.
Perrine is a KPFA supporter and listener, and she listens to WBAI, as I said, people from around the country, because WBAI is the only Pacifica station that has been brave enough to broadcast Taking Aim.
And believe it or not,
we are loyal and proud WBAI supporters, and Perrine is too, because of the courage of WBAI to broadcast them. Thank you, Perrine.
Here's something you might do if you're already a member. Here is the third pledge this evening from Claude of Brooklyn, and each one is for a different premium. So if you've heard of some package that you might want to get beyond the Taking Aim premium, but you want to support the Taking Aim program, call in now, get whatever premium you've heard over the course of the last 3 weeks, and do it now to support the Taking Aim special broadcast, as did Giovanni of Manhattan, and Henry of St. Albans, and Hannah of Manhattan, and Joseph of another one from Connecticut, New Hartford, Connecticut. Thank you all of you. And we just had another burst of calls. There are four callers on the line, but that means there's still room for you. 212-209-2950. At 8:27 there in WBAI New York, coming up, Sugar in My Bowl musical special with Joyce Jones and her special guest, Patty Austin. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. And at midnight, the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade with Bill Weinberg, with some great antique Yugoslavian folk music tonight. I know it's good because I found the record in my local dollar record store, a classic. Let's thank also Father Lawrence Lucas.
So good to hear from you, brother.
Member of the WBAI Advisory Board. And Sheila she's getting the CD package. And David of Passaic, New Jersey. Norris of the Village of Freeport. And Thomas of the Bronx. I haven't seen one from Queens. Come on, Queens, where are you?
What about Staten Island, too?
Staten Island is missing as well. Huntington is in the house, in the person of Dan. We'll say no more, Dan. Oh, here's someone getting a T-shirt. And you should, too. If you've got every other BAI item, you can't live without your WBAI T-shirt. They are
And
quite
that makes
beautiful.
Me think that we need to create some Taking Aim T-shirts and caps.
Well, it's quite easily done. And they have the T-shirt was a big special, especially since we made it affordable. We wanted to get the word of WBAI out, the name of WBAI out.
That's
there.
Right.
So a $30 T-shirt is a great way to show your pride in listenership and that you support WBAI. We'd like to thank Martin of Point Pleasant, New Jersey, and finally, at least so far, Louise of Manhattan.
Great. And Max, we'd like to play another excerpt, so
okay. Let's
get those lines lit up.
Well, we have two callers on the line.
Okay, let's get to four, and then we'll play the excerpt.
Okay, and we've got, there's 18 minutes left. I'm not sure. We probably won't be able to have time to play it all, but we'll get as much
we'll
of it as
taste.
We can. And then we'll be back to bring it home. It's coming up on 8:30. We need to get two more. Okay, there's one call. Can we get a second caller now? There are now three calls on the line. When I see that fourth line light up, we will go back to the highlights from our Taking Aim Premium that is yours for a $100 pledge this evening. Three CDs, over 3 hours of this important, informative material. We're down to two again. Can we get four at once? That means two people right now calling in. I need to see four lines lit up, four calls of support. WBAI relies on each and every listener to become a listener sponsor. It's a big step, but one that you'll be happy to make. There's a third call if we can get one more caller, and we will go back to the recording. 212-209-2950. We want to get back to it, but we need to hear from you. Oh, three calls. We need one more. 212-209-2950. Please, don't hold the programming hostage. That's not what we're trying to do, but you have to realize that without your calls, there will be no programming. It's as simple as that. Without WBAI, where would you hear this program and all the other programs that WBAI has to offer, from music, public affairs, to, of course, our daily newscast that's so important and covers issues as no one else does? 212-209-2950. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for that one last call. Will you be the one to help us move the tally and move the programming? Please become a listener sponsor of WBAI. $25, the basic rate. You can use Visa, American Express, MasterCard, or we can bill you. And for a $100 pledge, of course, the three-hour, three-CD package, one caller. It really comes down to you now. If you haven't made the pledge, don't put it off until Saturday. This fund drive will continue until Saturday, but right now we need to hear from you. Your call now is critically important. Okay, there it is. There's that fourth call. I'm not going to delay another moment. We go back to
9/11, permanent war, and the repressive apparatus of the state is martial law on the agenda.
And there's five callers. Thank you all so much.
Finally, I want to say just a few things to kick off a national discussion on martial law, how to deal with it, what to do. Martial law, if and when it's declared, okay, now we're going to have to use our imagination, whether it's some sort of catastrophic emergency, some new false flag, special operations-driven terrorist operation within America, whatever it might be, and we are suddenly confronted with a situation of martial law, we have to begin to have a conversation about this preemptively. We move preemptively so we are able to stop them from preempting our ability to resist. You understand what I'm saying? We have to externalize this. Martial law relies on our acquiescence, first and foremost. So non-cooperation is the key. Don't cooperate. Relies on self-censorship, on blind obedience to illegitimate authority. So, you all must stay home. Everybody goes out, right? At this point, devise means of communication. You know, it should the present means of communication be shut down. So be thinking now, how do we communicate? How do we communicate locally? How do we communicate between states? How do we communicate nationally? How do we communicate? Given the possibility that some means of communication will be shut down, how do we do that? We need to call now for resistance to potential martial law declarations. Begin to educate the people on what it is that we're going to do, how we're going to respond. Martial law relies on our atomization. We need to devise means of communication locally, state, and nationwide. Stress mutual solidarity and love of neighbor, if I may sound a little preachy, of all the people of, within America, all the people of the world. Love of neighbor, mutual solidarity. Don't let them atomize us. They atomize us, they control. So that's the thing, stay together. Stress that with the declaration of martial law, we stress that the government's been overthrown, hence martial law is an opportunity for revolution. We take their martial law declaration, we turn it around. All that is required is the courage and wisdom to disobey immoral and unlawful orders. We won't stay home. There's way more of us. All the cops and the soldiers, they can't put Humpty together again. They can't do it. Don't let them fool you. I mean, you know, they'll go, well, we have 100,000. We have 200,000 police. You know, we have Blackwater thugs that, you know, need a job. Go kill someone. There are millions of us. You see, and if we communicate and everybody responds and we're ready to deal with this whole issue of martial law, we can expose it. We can short-circuit it. Remain strong. Remain in touch. Communicate. This is our country. Devise now manifesto to the military and law enforcement in the event of martial law. In other words, we need to be speaking to our own local police, to our own local National Guard people, to among ourselves and people that we know. Don't carry out those orders. It's immoral. Disobey those orders. We can get this word out now. We will short-circuit their ability to create a martial law situation if we, you know, we recognize that we can do this, and because we can. A couple more things. On the ground, don't stay home. No atomization. Come together. Prearrange mass meeting points. Let people know that with the martial law declaration, the government has been overthrown. Organized for a new American revolution. We need to be thinking in terms of governance, creating seeds for some forms of people's constitutional conventions, strategizing on how the revolution is going to unfold, assuming we have the military and law enforcement on a stand down. Okay? Assuming this. Otherwise, we're talking about community self-defense, and I don't need to go into some of that. There's going to be a lot of people out there who will be talking about the Second Amendment and what all that implies, and so I don't need to do that. And I sure as hell don't want to get involved in any kind of terrorist speech or suggesting any kind of violence, which, of course, I would never do. But the idea of defending your own, community self-defense. Occupy the means of survival, utilities, food, banks, shelters, hospitals. We have to move. They come with martial law. Everybody moves. Everybody's aware. We're in touch. We're communicating. The battle is short-lived. They realize it's not going to happen. You see, we create situations that would not be there. If we acquiesce, then we allow it to take place. We don't acquiesce. Manifesto to the people, the army, and the police. Call for a new American revolution. We have a moral obligation to defend one another, to love one another. It trumps Romans 13, for those of you who are familiar with that, obeying authority. Martial law versus God's law. God's law to love our neighbors as ourselves, that's the mandate of the people. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Mainly, I'd like to address this to Ralph Shulman. I agree with Ralph's analysis that made an attempt to understand all this happening tied to evolutionary developmental history of capitalism. But what I want to ask him is, show me the big degeneration. The very first Continental Congress, they had to go out and kidnap senators and tie their arms in the vote yay position. The Society of Cincinnati packed the first Constitutional Congress, and George Washington was an officer of it, was tied to the Royal House of France. Oliver Wendell Holmes, the great jurist, was a member of the Eugenics Society and called for sterilizing, killing criminals before they committed their crimes. And we went and sent emissaries to the Nazis to teach them racist theory. Show me the evolution of degeneration. It was already degenerate at the beginning.
There is a very substantial literature on the American Revolution. Historians, and I'm not referring here to Howard Zinn and his populist book, People's History of the United States, but distinguished historians who have demonstrated and documented how the mass of the population in the United States was in revolt against the property-owning elite that formulated the Constitution and all of those various instruments for preventing direct election of representatives, making property a condition, only propertied males, no slaves, no women, no this, no that, the other. The first 10 amendments to the Constitution were, in fact, the result of an armed rebellion, the Whiskey Rebellion, and so on. And so I would say that there is a rich legacy in the literal history of the United States, so the ways in which property was identified with governance and dispossessed populations and made their access to control relatively formal. I would say this very briefly. It is at the point of production that working people have the ability to effect control over the decision-making of those who rule. You paralyze at the point of production because we produce all value. And very much in the media, Maya and I were at an all-day conference for labor direct action against the war put on by the longshore workers, transportation workers, teachers, workers with heads of unions in Great Britain and South Africa and in Japan, the railroad workers, Dorochiba, and so on, addressing this question of how the category of terror is deployed under the cover of national security for arresting and policing and disciplining working people on the docks and in the railroads across and communication centers in the United States. Organizing a fight back begins, in my judgment, with precisely that, mobilizing workers at the point of production, because it's an organized, cohesive resistance that is the prerequisite for a fight back against the arbitrary rule that is in store.
Just a week ago, October 23rd, the Berkeley City Council held what they called a work session on pandemic influenza, I think they called it. It was held at 6 p.m. following a closed session on legal matters, and the health officer gave a presentation. What I would like to know is, do we really need to be concerned about avian flu? One of the things they talk about is that we may be quarantined and we may be given vaccinations, although there wouldn't be enough to go around. So perhaps Mr. Morales or perhaps Mr. Shulman can comment on this.
The Department of Homeland Security and NORTHCOM recently concluded Vigilant Shield, kind of a war game exercise, this past October 15th through 20th, which, among other things, was a dry run for martial law scenarios and exercising first responders and so on and so forth. And they were looking at, among other things, pandemic. So maybe this was kind of an offshoot of that exercise as part of what they refer to as top-off exercise. Was Vigilant Shield 2008, and you can look that up. It's a NORTHCOM exercise that just took place. Unfortunately, very often what we've seen concurrent with these exercises and war games are the emergence, the origins, the seed for other kinds of false flag operations. We're familiar, of course, in 9/11 Truth with the war games that took place on the day of 9/11. So we often look to the war games and the exercises as cover for what might be coming. But I don't think it takes, you know, a whole lot of imagination to see the potential for these kinds of false flags operations to happen and utilize those for martial law scenarios or other kinds of scenarios. But this exercise, along with radiological bombs, was looking at the pandemic influenza and various other things, Vigilant Shield.
In this series, the eight-part series, Creating the Next Pandemic, that's available at TakingAimRadio.com, we document in great detail the research that is going on in universities and military-supported laboratories where, for instance, the Spanish influenza, the original bird flu, 50 million people killed at the time of World War I. They have recreated the virus such that it is resistant to any known antibiotics. And they did the same thing with smallpox. Smallpox, which has been eradicated around the world. Again, they have reproduced smallpox virus. So they are creating, they are practicing. The research is going on.
Very briefly, two points. Lab 257 in Long Island is a specific laboratory. There's a book on the subject which has been weaponizing viral agents, and they have been deployed. Maya refers to the eight-part series. I would mention the following. In Africa, the Ebola and AIDS and other emergent viruses have been specifically unleashed. Millions of people have been impacted as a consequence in Angola, in Mozambique, in Congo. 1 million acres of land were obtained from Mobutu by the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control. And as the London Times documented in 1987, millions of people had imposed vaccinations, and the London Times investigative reporters put a grid over the areas involved. There's a one-to-one correlation between the emergence of AIDS clusters and so on. This is very much specific to the unfolding of the events of September 11th because Admiral William Crowe, who's involved with the Carlyle Group and with an operation called Bioport in Michigan, which is creating the so-called anthrax vaccine imposed upon hundreds of thousands of GIs, resulting in systemic neurological damage to U.S. soldiers, and Bioport linked to Carlyle and Fuad al-Hibri with its correspondent in Porton Downs, the entire arena where the Ames strain of anthrax was identified as the militarized anthrax that was actually released in Congress and other places and in post offices across the United States. The entire scenario of Clouds of Secrecy and the 11th Plague, the subsequent book to this, which lays out the calls and the preparations for quarantine and for the implementation of effective martial law, is tied to the disaster of weaponized biological and viral.
Well, I'm sorry to have to cut it off there with 4 minutes left to go, but we must get back to the business of supporting WBAI Radio.
And just think, Matt, if you support WBAI Radio and contribute your donation of $100, you won't have the program interrupted. You can hear each and every word over and over again, each and every dynamic thought, each and every call to action. Please, the first call of action now, the essential call of action now, is to dial 212-209-2950. We've had long-distance calls from California, and we hope that the people who are listening by radio streaming overseas are using the internet site for making their donation online. 212-209-2950. Wonderful Max Schmidt has been here giving us a great, great introduction to the, and to...
and Maya...
yeah?
Lynn Stewart and Father Lucas, who have been political and moral leaders of struggle for human betterment and survival, they're calling in.
Brothers, I know, I love
take,
it.
Take,
our friends.
Take your cue from our Mother Courage. Take your cue from Father Lucas, who's been in the forefront of struggle, who defends prisoners at Rikers Island, who has been a beacon for the oppressed in, from his church in Harlem, who is always there in the forefront of struggle. Lynn Stewart, Ralph Pointer, Father Lucas are pointing the way. They're calling in. You do likewise, brothers and sisters. 212-209-2950.
I want to mention another telephone call for you to dial, and that's afterwards or during the day, some other time, but not now, 646-537-1755. That is the number for the New York 9/11 Initiative petition drive to get on the ballot. It's a unique opportunity. The voters can speak truth to power and demand an impartial account of the events of 9/11, a true investigation. Ralph and I have been involved in this work. So has Frank Morales, is one of the key leaders of the New York 9/11 Truth Movement and weekly meetings at St. Mark's Church that he has helped facilitate. Les Jamison is coordinating this petition drive. Please call or go to nyc911initiative.org. And William Pepper, the incredible attorney who brought to the courts the truth about the Martin Luther King assassination, supporting the King family and their efforts, please NYC911initiative.org. You need to get out in the streets, gather petitions. We need 45,000 registered New York City voters by the end of April signing on. And meanwhile, get to your phone, 212-209-2950. Again, 212-209-2950.
And we finally heard from Queens, from Jamaica. Alvin Johnson has joined our vast membership rolls.
Oh, thank you, Alvin.
And the anonymous woman who says, this is the only open forum, doesn't matter if you agree or not, just keep this coming. And she has made good on the $500 match that was offered earlier in the program.
Oh, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Sheila of Plainfield, New Jersey, is getting a set. Now, remember, we only got to play about 30 or 40 minutes of highlights from this three-hour premium CD package. You can get the whole thing for a $100 pledge to WBAI. It makes you a member.
And, Max, one thing I did that was a bit sneaky is I didn't play any of the excerpts from beginning to end. It was a mix and a match because I didn't want somebody to start recording and then editing, so I mixed it up. The only way you're going to have continuity of program is to donate to WBAI.
Well, two people are doing that now, but we need more. We have by the way, we've had a changeover. Some volunteers have gone and some new ones have arrived. So let's thank our phone volunteers, Gina DeJesus, who has just joined us, and Diane Parsons, and Reggie Sheridan, who's here all the time, and Firefly here this evening, and of course, Dennis, not Demenis, as he likes to be known, or as I consider him, Dennis Threat or Menace, our tally coordinator this evening. They are waiting now. Oh, the two calls that were on the line have gone. We have about 7 minutes before we have to bring up the opening theme and make way for Sugar in My Bowl, a music special coming your way at 9. We have one more chance to light up the phones. We can make $1,000 in the next 8 minutes, but we need to start with the first caller, 212-209-2950. Let's thank Walter of Brentwood and Ruskin of Morris Plains, New Jersey, and Clive of Hackensack. And finally, Rachel of Beacon, New York. Oh, our signal's going out tonight.
That's right. There's a 90-mile radius, and that's why we get pledges from Connecticut. People actually in New Haven, if they have good enough reception, can hear WBAI.
Long Island, and, of course, in the prisons, as Maya mentioned, in East Jersey State Prison in Rahway, in Northern State Prison in Newark.
And what people, you know, who are really up on the technology, what they do is they have connected the WBAI site, particularly the Taking Aim show, connected to their iPod, and it goes right into their iPod. So we've heard that people in Washington, D.C. told us that that's what they do.
And, in fact, earlier today, I heard from Brother Leroy, Brother Leroy has been involved in a class action suit against the brutalization of prisoners by the guards in Northern State. And Brother Leroy and all of the brothers in struggle have been faithful listeners to WBAI and Taking Aim. And we heard from Brother Leroy today about another brother who's been put into solitary confinement and brutalized by the guards as a non-stop constant. That's what this struggle is about. We reach out to our brothers and sisters in prison. We reach out to our constituents, the victims of the criminalization of poverty. Those who are the targets of capitalism are the forerunners of what we have to expect from the ruling class for all of us today, brothers and sisters. They are involved in the struggle to fight back and in the struggle to survive. They are integral to our own efforts. They are our future. The militants, those who are victims of the system, will be in the vanguard and forefront of the resistance to it. Join with them. Join with us. Join with Taking Aim and Free Speech Radio. Join with WBAI and support this effort, brothers and sisters.
212-209-2950. Again, 212-209-2950. And we have a little accompaniment here also saying 212-209-2950. Please get on the line. Keep those volunteers happy, active, ready to greet and discuss with you, and acknowledge your support of WBAI, and particularly of Taking Aim.
And
this is
been
our seventh year broadcasting. We really, each year we say, oh my goodness, it's another year that you've supported us and kept us going.
And
we've
been joined in the tally room. Go ahead.
I was going to give the phone number.
Let's not forget the phone number.
212-209-2950. Max,
We've been joined in the tally room by Nia Battiaco and Crispin, but we need volunteers for the overnight tonight. If you can help us out, call 212-209-2877, and we have to get your name into the building's complex computer system for security. You'll need a photo ID to come to the building at 120 Wall Street on the 10th floor. If you can help out tonight in the overnight, or indeed anytime between now and Saturday, we need to hear from you as well. And for 3 hours of your labor, if you cannot afford to make a financial contribution, for 3 hours of your labor, we will make you a member of the radio station as well. But
oh, and Max, talking about Saturdays, the drive was extended. We were going to be on Al Lewis Lives with Karen Lewis this Saturday, but we'll be on in two Saturdays, because the Saturday after this Saturday, which is the continuation of the drive, is International Women's Day celebration at WBAI. So we will be on the week after, so that's in 2 weeks, we will be on Al Lewis Lives with Karen Lewis.
Oh, I didn't realize that we were going on. My goodness, we have a random day. Martin Luther King Day was a random fundraising day, and I guess we've added another one, all part of the winter fund drive, because the need is urgent to keep WBAI on the air. And there's only one caller, and we've only got 2 minutes to go. Joyce Jones is getting ready for her musical special. You'll want to stay tuned for that. But to welcome her in, can we get a flurry of phone calls? Can we hear those phones ring one last time? Let's get another 8 or 9 calls, as we did earlier.
Remember, this is your last opportunity. Your last opportunity to dial 212-209-2950. All those of you in the greater New York region, and all those of you with long-distance calling plans all over the country. And internationally, please go to the website and donate online at www.wbai.org/donate. The reason I say that is because I'm trying to get as many people who are within the vicinity to telephone and bring up the tally.
Okay, I missed one thank you, Ronald of New Haven, Connecticut, and I think we have a few more coming in the room now. There's Dennis.
Well, maybe there's a Staten Island person coming
Let's
in.
Let's see. Well, Sloatsburg, New York. Now, we don't often hear from Sloatsburg.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ronald, and thank you, Henry of Orange,
Ronald,
New Jersey. And Arl. Alice. That's it, Alice of Manhattan. And Mahmoud of Brooklyn. And we can thank you, too. There
thank
are two callers
Alice.
On the line, but can we get one final burst of support in our final 30 seconds? We've got to close the show and turn it over.
Shukran jidan Mahmoud.
But thanks to everyone who has called. Thanks to our volunteers. And a subscriber member wants the host's contact information. Well, we better get that in at the end
that's
of the show.
That's right. Taking AIM, that's TakingAIM, at PacBell, TacBell. .net Pacific Bell, PacBell.net. Taking Aim at PacBell.net. And if you look on our website, it also has our contact information, and that's www.takingaimradio.com. Thanks to Mark Bilk, who forever inspired us to put up the website and maintains it.
Well, and thank you, Ralph and Maya. I'd like to personally thank Mark Leosa for coming in with the chocolate during the show.
Oh, thank you, Mark. And Max, you're fantastic.
Okay.
Always a pleasure to be on with you.
All right. Well, we've got to wrap it up with 90 seconds before our next program. Join the two callers on the line. Last call for the 3-hour 3-CD set from Taking Aim, 212-209-2950. Thanks to everyone who's called. Thanks to Ralph and Maya.
And we'll be with you next week.
Thinking of me, I. No, not a matter of the game now, I don't. WBAI, New York. Stay tuned for a Sugar in My Bowl fundraising special. Membership drive, winter, we continue. Yeah, it's like all around the place with that sentence, but stay tuned. This is WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. Our featured guest is Patty Austin, the Grammy-winning Patty Austin. Yes, sir, indeed. So let's see.